Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role with the show.
I'm Bobby Smith, and I'm playing George in the show at Signature Theater called No Place to Go by Ethan Lipton.
And it runs at Signature Theater, as you mentioned, from August 30th through October 16th. So get your tickets now. Hey, thanks for joining us, Bobby.
No problem. It's a pleasure.
Now, I should say joining us again, because I know we spoke to you in studio. What was it for? Maybe Grand Hotel, maybe?
I think so. Yeah.
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 So it's nice to talk again. I guess. But yeah, before we go any further, tell us what it's about. The basic premise, plot line, if you will.
Well, it's a really crazy, wonderful story that's a little absurd and a little heartwarming. It's about a gentleman that's trying to maintain his corporate job while he's spending time in New York City, being a playwright and a composer. And then the job suddenly goes away. It decides it's going to move very far away because they're not making enough profit being in New York City. And so it's about the character George trying to deal with how he's going to maintain his apartment and his wife and his cats and dogs and his career in the arts when his job goes away. Basically, that's it.
Great. And so, and his job that you're talking about, the one that's getting moved away, it's what is the job? He's a corporate quote information refiner. What does that mean?
Yeah, he's I think the Ethan Lipton, the playwright, has made it pretty vague just so everybody can relate to it. I think, you know,
we can project our jobs on that.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. You can think of it at like, you know, a national, you know, magazine or something like that. He's an information refiner. He takes the facts and he refines them and they put out a publication to the public. And yeah, and apparently it's a, you know, within the piece, it's an award-winning publication and they just want to make more money. So they move the operation to Mars.
Oh my gosh. It said very remote location. I didn't know if that, well, you know, yeah. You know, Siberia, but you mean really remote.
It's really awesome. Funny. Yeah. It's like, and so the idea in this kind of absurdist take is that you have to make a choice. You can move with your job to Mars and keep making the same money you were making and leave your family behind, or you stay in New York City and try to be an artist without a job.
Wow. And I assume, you know, since it's Mars, there's no working remotely. I don't think
I don't think so. But, you know, they send other people up there and you know, it's quite interesting. And it ultimately talks about art in general and what people do to be an artist and to survive being an artist. And it's a really a touching and funny piece.
I like that it's something that everyone can relate to, and it's almost the reverse of it. So go with me here. So usually I feel like it's, you know, people are, you know, unless you're an artist like yourself, but I'd say most people listening to this, probably they're in their town working that 9-to-5 job or whatever. Right. And, but they're feeling the pull to move to Broadway or Hollywood or whatever, you know what I mean? That Absolutely. Should I stay with my family or go? And then you guys kind of reverse it where it seems like he's already got sort of this artistic life and it's the more 9-to-5er job that wants to pull him away. Is that right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Because he's a playwright and a composer, like unlike actors who sometimes get paid weekly, composers and playwrights get paid once a year, you know. So in order to have that time to write and stuff, he's got to take on this other job. And you know, that job just wants to, like most corporations, wants to make money and they want to continue making money. And it really is about seeing workers as people and you know, there's the final soccer game that they play, the company soccer game, and it's really lovely and funny.
Awesome. Now, what do we visually, what do we see on stage? Do we see the magazine office or whatever it is? Do we see Mars? Do we see his artful pursuits, his family house, or what do we see like set wise?
Well, it's kind of the office, a kind of every man's office in every place America. There is of course, a band on stage, that's, incredible. So there's a bass player and a guitar player and a saxophone player. And they're part of his fantasy. So every time we go into a musical number, it becomes a fantasy. And that's pretty funny. And yeah, and there's me. Awesome. That talks a lot, Jason.
Well, not too much. We need, I mean, in interviews like this, that's sort of the point, you know, especially radio. We need you to talk a lot. So I need, because I need sound bites.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give them to you now.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned, of course, it is a musical. We shouldn't go much further without exploring that a little bit. So give us a sense of, you know, a number or two or three, some of your favorite musical numbers.
Yeah, it's I would say it's more like a play with songs. And it's, you know, it's got a soul number. It's got the blues in it. It's got like a country song. It's got all of these different kind of American songs, music that tells the story through his fantasy. He sings a song, a blues song to his job. But it's not to a person. It's like, you know, I know you're sorry that you're going away, you know, but that you're leaving me, you know, it has this tongue in cheek quality that people can really relate to that have worked in corporate America or anywhere probably.
Awesome. Now dish on your co-stars, because at least according to the website, you're the only one that is, you know, just an actor in this. It seems like the other ones that play Jonah, Sal, Duke, they're also double or triple or quadruple as different musicians. So I dote on who's going to be on stage with you.
They play a lot of instruments, and they also have a few lines here and there because they're a part of the band that my character kind of has as part of his songwriting career. But we have Ian Riggs is the music director and the bass player, and he did the show in New York. Grant Langford and is the reed player, our the saxophone, and Tom Lagana.
Awesome. Well, it sounds really cool. Go more into who wrote it, and you know, maybe what were they inspired by? Was this like a push pull in their own corporate versus artistic life?
I actually, at one point, I think there was some fellowships and some awards that Ethan was trying to get grants for. Ethan Lipton is the playwright and wrote the music along with some of the band members that played in New York. It's called thing is called Ethan Lipton and His Orchestra. And that basically means it's Ethan and three guys that play, which is funny in itself. But he was told to write about what he knows. And this actually happened to him. And he was keeping this extra job, and they, of course, they didn't move to Mars, but this actually happened. And so he wrote about it, and he theatricalized it. And yeah, he's kind of an amazing guy. He has several plays that he's written, and lots of music that he's written. He's put out four albums, and yeah, he's a great guy. He's just came into rehearsal this week to stare at us.
That's all he did. He didn't actually do anything.
He doesn't freak you out or anything, you know, saying all of his words and singing all of his songs. So I'm just hoping I'm not disappointing him as we speak. So
awesome. Well, I guess sort of in closing, we have to mention it's directed by the great Matthew Gardner, who we our listeners are very familiar with. How great is it to be doing this at Signature? I know, you know, we've interviewed you about Signature shows in the past, but yeah, just dish on the theater itself and how it's such a joy to be able to work there every time.
It's great because I feel so at home and relaxed, and there's plenty of people to support me. And at this point, I think Matthew Gardner is being more patient than Matthew Gardner has ever been, just because of the information that has to go into my head. And I really appreciate that. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the audiences to come in and share this with us. I think they'll get a kick out of it because it's so different and engaging. I think they'll have a kick.
Great. And what's in the title? No Place to Go. I mean, obviously, I guess we got different places in terms of Mars, etc. But what does the title speak to?
Yeah. The idea of No Place to Go is he has a monologue at the beginning. I have a monologue at the beginning of the show, and it's just, it talks about everybody needs a place to go. You know, kids start looking for a place to go as early as 2 or 3 years of age, and old people, you can't take that. You can't take a place to go from the hands of an old person because they've had it for so long. And it not only means like a place to work, but it also means a place to feel worthy. And a place that gets you away from your family for a second so you can breathe and you can work, and then you go back home and you're fresh again. It means a whole lot of different things. And that's, I think that's one of the reasons the show is going to speak to people, because it's got a lot of metaphors in it and a lot of comments on America and corporations and people. So it'll be fun.
Awesome. Well, again, everyone, it's called No Place to Go. It's the DC premiere of this show. It's going to be at Signature Theater in Shirlington, Virginia there, August 30th through October 16th. So get your tickets now, sigtheater.org. Hey, thanks for doing this, Bobby.
Jason Fraley, thank you so much.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.